And first, pitch seeing. We had this last Sunday. We'll read it again tonight. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now this next verse is the one that began the great Reformation under Martin Luther. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that was the battle cry of the church. Now there were some things, three main things that Martin Luther established. Three truths from the New Testament that he established at the time of the great Reformation. And the first thing was that these things had been buried under ritual, formality, tradition for centuries. And Martin Luther was raised up of God along with other men, and this one truth shook all that formality and ritual and tradition to its very heels. And the first one was, a man is justified by faith alone. The just shall live by faith. The second remarkable truth that has emphasis in the New Testament is every believer is a priest with direct access to God apart from tradition. Well, that's a remarkable thing. Every believer is a priest and has direct access to God through Christ. We read that we have one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It's not necessary for you to go through any other individual. The Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone gives us access into the presence of God, and every believer can worship God in the Spirit and in truth. And as one of those verses were referred to, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, having no confidence in the flesh. And to put any confidence in anyone other than Christ in your access to God is to put confidence in the flesh. No man, no cardinal, no pope, no, Christ and Christ alone is the one mediator, the one through whom every Christian has access into the presence of God. He needs no assistance. Jesus Christ alone is sufficient to give every Christian access into the presence of God. He says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. Here is the Christian going in and coming out and going in and coming out in his fellowship with God. He needs no other introduction. Christ is enough. And the third remarkable truth, the Bible, apart from tradition, is the sole source of faith and authority for the Christian. Not tradition, not the word of men, but the word of God alone. That's our sole authority. It's not the voice of the church. It's the voice of the living God given to us in our Bible. And we're dealing now with the church and the New Testament. So these are the three main points that were introduced, emphasized, and propagated from the Great Reformation on. And I'll go over them so you'll remember them. The first one is, man is justified or saved by faith. Saved by faith. Then again, every believer is a priest with direct access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And third, the Word of God is our sole ground of authority in our approach to God, independent of tradition or the words of men. Now, with through this first one, man is justified by faith. Let us think of the word and meaning of justification. What does justification mean? Just as if I've never sinned. You're clear of all blame, having no connection with the crime. You're innocent. For instance, if a man were to come before a local judge, and he was charged with some crime, and there were supposed to be witnesses to this crime, and after the judge heard the case thoroughly, listened to all the evidence, and he could see clearly, because of the conflict of the witnesses and the contradiction, this man is absolutely innocent. He had no connection whatsoever with this crime. The judge could say, I exonerate you. You're justified. You're cleared of all involvement. You're cleared of all blame. He wouldn't say, well, after hearing the evidence, I'll pardon you. The man could retort, pardon me for what? I didn't do anything. Well, I'll warn you. What are you talking about? You don't warn me. I had nothing to do with that. There's only one verdict the judge could give. This man is absolutely innocent. He's justified. We have no guilt whatsoever with this crime. The word justified, that's what it means. And how wonderful that you read this language. And I want you to listen to it in Romans 4:5. You ask the question, how can a guilty man be justified? It says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And so the ungodly are justified. Why do you say that seems strange? How can you justify an ungodly man? Well, simply means this. When a man accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. He is looked upon in the sight of God as a new creature entirely. It's wonderful to think that God can look upon a person saved as a new creature entirely, having had a new beginning without sin before God. That's how God sees every born-again Christian. He is seen as innocent, having never sinned. How is it? Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ never sinned. He did no sin. He was without sin. And when I have Christ, God sees Christ. He doesn't see that old, sinful, ungodly man, lest the wolf. He sees Christ, and Christ never sins. Christ never will guilt. That's the only way an ungodly person to be justified is because God sees him now in Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, remember what the Lord said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus was an old man. He had to be born spiritually. And when he was born spiritually, and those of us here who are saved tonight, we were born spiritually when we received Christ. We had a new beginning. Old things. The old ungodly person. The old sinful guilty person. Passed away. a new beginning, and this new man in Christ Jesus. He stands before God justified. To me, that's one of the most marvelous truths I wish all Christians would get a hold of. First of all, there's the need for justification. A number of things, the need of justification, its source, its basis, and the instrument. The need of justification in Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The sinner is ungodly. No question about it. No part good. Just as Christ has no sin and no part wrong, so the sinner is ungodly. No part good. Impossible to do good. He's away from God. He's guilty, condemned before God. So you have the two persons. The ungodly sinner, the righteous, sinless Son of God. There you have the two. And so the need of a person being saved, the need of a person being justified because we're guilty. We're guilty, we're condemned before God. So I certainly need to be justified or cleared of all blame, all involvement in sin. And you want a further evidence, read Romans 3 if you want to see man's need for justification. But what is the source of all this? In Romans 3:24, you read these remarkable words. Being justified freely by his grace. Here is the source of justification through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Then again, you have Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Here is the judge of the universe. He looks to the born again Christian and he challenges at anyone to bring a charge against that born-again Christian. God does. God says, who shall lay any charge to one of my elect? Those who have been born again. How safe and secure the Christian is. Then again, you have another one. In Romans 8:30. Whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. God looks upon the born-again Christian, not only justified, but the finished product glorified. Now if God has done this, who can change? And so we find man's need of being justified because he's ungodly. The source of this justification is God's sovereign grace. How wonderful that God in grace could devise a plan whereby he could maintain his righteousness, punish sin, yet pardon the sinner, and justify him forever, and take him to heaven a finished product, just like his son. What an amazing thing. Furthermore, you have the basis of this remarkable justification. Romans 5:9. Romans 5:9, you have this. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we have been saved from wrath. You have the need of justification, man's ungodly. The source of justification in God himself is grace. Remember this, that all man's sin is against God. All of it. You all know the sad story of David. And what did David say in his penitential psalm, Psalm 51, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. David, you sinned against Bathsheba. You sinned against Uriah, the husband you had him put to death. Oh, yes, but that's insignificant compared to my sin against God. I've outraged God. Against thee the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. So God is the one that we've sinned against. And he's the one that has the right to forgive. The offended one justifies the offender. Isn't that remarkable? God is the offended one, and he is able to justify the offender. After justice is satisfied, the basis of that justification of the basis of that satisfaction on God's part is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the very blood of Christ enables God to come out and be just, and yet the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. How remarkable these things are. Sin must be punished, or God can clear me of my guilt. Before God can pardon all my transgressions, before I can be justified as an ungodly sinner, before I can be cleared of all blame, justice must be satisfied, sin must be punished, and it was when Jesus Christ took my place and died in my stead. He's the one that faced the righteous God with my ungodliness. He's the one that faced God with all my sin and guilt and transgression. He's the one. My sin is punished in Jesus Christ. After dealing with sin in judgment, God can deal with the sinner in grace. That's the model. After God has dealt with me and my sin in judgment, as he did at the cross, now he can turn around and deal with me in grace. God says in the beginning, I said, of the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that soul's sin was laid on Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree. And so my righteous requirements, my holy character has been satisfied. I punish sin. I punish the substitute. And I now can turn around to the one who committed all those sins and say, you're justified. I'm satisfied. And that's the only way you can be justified in the sight of God. A just God and a Savior. You read that over in Isaiah, I think it is. Yes. Isaiah 45:21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who hath declared this from ancient time. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. A just God and a Savior. Had he saved man without providing a sacrifice, he wouldn't be just. He would be letting sin go unpunished. Had God not punished sin, he couldn't be a Savior. The only way he could be a Savior was to punish sin and be just in doing it. God was just. He said, the soul that sinned it shall die. God said, I'm going to punish it. But he punished my substitute instead. And after dealing with Christ, because my sins were laid upon him, now says God, the land has been cleared. I can come out in perfect righteousness and justify the guilty. sinners and paid for punishment. Now I'm free to justify the guilty and remain just in so doing, a just God and a Savior. Seeing this is so, look what happens to the one who rejects this transaction. In that same passage in Isaiah 45, he says, after a just God and a Savior, there's none beside it. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. There's absolutely no other way to be saved, except this way that God has given. Next verse. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, but unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess. God said, if you won't accept my plan of redemption, a legal transaction, how a guilty person can be made righteous, because I took the sinner's sin and laid them upon my sinless son, I punished that sinner's sin when I punished my son. Because my son paid the fine, paid the penalty, my righteousness is satisfied, I can turn around and save the sinner. God says that you refuse that. You're going to acknowledge in the day of judgment that it was a righteous transaction. And you're going to confess it. Unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess the glory of God the Father. How wonderful is this wonderful transaction. Then again, instrument of justification. Romans 5:1. Over Romans 5:1 you read this, these words. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice these 4 points. The need of justification because we're ungodly. Then the source of that justification, the grace of God. The basis of that justification. God can only manifest his grace when justice is satisfied in the blood of Christ. And then the instrument by which this wonderful salvation is mine by faith. Therefore being justified by faith, not with, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How could you have peace unless you knew you were cleared of all blame? You couldn't have peace. That's a wonderful thing. I know I'm cleared of all involvement in Adam's awful sin and my own sin after I was born until I was saved. Now I have peace about the whole world. I'm justified before God. I have peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace right now. In this world, at this moment, I've got peace. This whole thing has been settled before the Lord to his satisfaction. Christ also has once suffered for sin, he the just, for me the unjust, that I might be brought to God. Isn't that simple? 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also has once suffered for the sin, he'll never suffer again. He once suffered for sin, he the just one, for me the unjust one, that the unjust one might be brought to God. Isn't that simple? That's what the Bible teaches, and it's true, and also in Acts 13:38-39, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. So law can't justify a man. The law can only aggravate his condition and call for punishment. The law demands death. So we can't be justified by the law. It only amplifies our condition. The Lord Jesus satisfied the law. He kept it in his life, and he bore its curse in his death. Another remarkable verse over in Isaiah 53:11. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall. The Lord Jesus will look upon the travail of his soul all the day, and he's going to be satisfied. Now listen to these words. For by his knowledge, the knowledge of Christ, shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. The Lord Jesus will look upon the travail of his soul all the day. Because of his knowledge, he justified, he cleared of all these many, for he bore their iniquity. How wonderful is this marvelous transaction, justification. Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sin. In every respect, Christ was proclaimed holy, sinless, for the mouth of man and demon. Even the demons said, "We know thee, the Holy One of God." Pilate had to say, "I'm innocent of the blood of the just." Christ was proclaimed innocent, holy, righteous, the Son of God, by demons and by men. He was the Holy One, the righteous. All we were, all we are, was imputed to the Lord Jesus when he was on the cross. But all he was and is and forever will be was imputed to us when he set the door. Can you take that in? All that I was, lost, guilty, undone, and ungodly, was imputed to Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. And I receive him. All he was and is sinless was imputed to me. I became a new creature, Christ in me, the hope of glory. We are accepted in Christ. Isn't that remarkable? We are clean every whit. God says it. Talking about us. Accepted in Christ, we're clean every whit. We're perfect in him. These are Bible quotations. As he is, so are we in this world. Now this is what God says. And don't forget this, that every member of his body is exactly what Christ himself is before God. Sinless. That's every born again person. If I'm born again, I'm a member of his body, and I'm seen before God just as Jesus Christ is seen. Sinless, holy, righteous, undivided. I've been justified. In Christ, cleared of all blame and baldness. What I was before I found the sin. This is the only way the guilty can be justified. Justification. All that we were and did has been blotted out before God. God says, "I've blotted out the disciples I transgressed." Everything has been blotted out. The sky is blue. There's not even a little cloud, let alone a big one. There's not even a flaky cloud. The sky is perfectly blue. The sun is shining bright. God says, "I've blotted out this a thick cloud I transgressed, and as a cloud, thy ship, you turn unto me, I have justified, cleared of all guilt. Job asks the remarkable question, how can man be justified before God, and he that is born of a woman be clean? Job asks that question, he's about the oldest writer in the Bible. It puzzles Job. How can man be just before God? And how can it be that a born of a woman be clean? For Job knew you were born in sin. Well, we've already gone over the ground how this can be done. But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. God has paid the debt. He punished my sin. When he punished his son, he took my place and suffered in my place, the death pay. I didn't pay it. He did. But I get the benefit of it because I did his sin. Also another text. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a work that any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8. Now these not plain enough, that one we quoted a while ago in Acts 13. We're justified through Christ, and we could not be thus justified by the law of Moses. The law curses us. Grace blesses us. You know, you cannot justify yourself. There's a man in the Bible who tried that over in Luke 10. He being the lawyer, he being willing to justify or anxious to justify himself, said, and who, my neighbor? The Lord told him the story of the Good Samaritan. If you want to get to heaven on the face of your work, do what the Good Samaritan did. That silent thing. He was willing to justify himself. There are people today and they try to justify themselves before God by their good works, their law keeping, their ordinances, their giving of money, their praying, their penance, and their morals. They're trying to justify themselves before God. They can't do it. The more they attempt to justify themselves, the more their guilt rises and all it tilts before God. No man can justify himself. No man by his money, his work, even by laying down his own life, he can't put his sin to it. God won't accept the sinful sacrifice. It's got to be a sinless. You cannot justify me. No man can justify me. I don't care who. Also, there are those who will seek to justify themselves before men. They know they can't get away with it before God. But they'll try and justify themselves before men, like one did over Luke 16 and 15. In other words, these are the kind of people who want other folks to believe that they are Christians when they know they are not right with God. Yet they want to pose as Christians. As we have heard this morning, this man's religion is vain. How wonderful to know that God, having been a just God, demanding full payment, demanding 36 inches to the yard and 16 ounces to the pound. God demanded the uttermost farthing, and he paid it. He demanded it. His requirements were met when Jesus Christ took all my sins, all I was, and he suffered for those sins. He bore them on the cross, and because he did, God says, now my laws have been met. My demands have been satisfied. I've upheld the requirements of my soul by punishing, a sinless man. Now every sinful man who accepts that sinless substitute, I will justify and clear him of all blame. I see him in my Son, in whom there is no sin. For Jesus Christ is the only one in the universe of God that God purely justifies without sacrifice. Only he can be justified because of his sacrifice. He did no sinning without sin. He was not involved in any sin. The only involvement Christ had was when he involved himself with you and me. And he presented himself the sacrifice of our substance. He became involved in man's sin. And he bore our sins in his own body and flesh. How wonderful, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement that our sin deserved was laid upon him to be Christ. I'm he. I am justified, cleared of all blame, innocent before God. I'm accepted in the beloved one. This is the truth of justification. No wonder it shook the religious world to its foundation. When Martin Luther and his contemporaries thundered forth this wonderful truth, justification, by faith, not work, not virtue, by faith in shed blood of Christ alone. And you justify, if not your ungodly. God wants to justify free of all things. We might stand before him tonight in Christ Jesus. Clean everything. Perfect. In me. Very good. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who come into thy presence, we ask thy blessing upon thy word and how we thank thee for thy precious word. How wonderful it is. He blessed me for the day when it was revealed to our hearts by the Spirit. We have thy word for these things. We couldn't speak with authority were it not that thy word supports our argument. And without faith it's impossible to believe God. And that faith must be deposited in the person and the work of Christ, when he became our substitute and suffered for our sins. Oh, to be a Christian might rejoice in our position, as it is so nigh, so very nigh to God here that he could not be. For in the person of his Son, we are as near as he is. Leave our thanks to our Savior's precious name.